Operation Joe is simply the fulfillment of an expectation, Oppenheimer calmly told a reporter from Life magazine that autumn. He had never thought that the American monopoly would last very long. A year earlier, he had told Time magazine, "Our atomic monopoly is like a cake of ice melting in the sun." Now he hoped the existence of a Soviet bomb would persuade Truman to change course and renew the efforts made in 1946 to internationalize control over all nuclear technology. But he also feared the administration might overreact. He had heard talk of preventative war in some quarters. David Lilienthal found his friend frantic, drawn with nervous energy. He told Lilienthal, "We mustn't muff it this time. This could be an end of the miasma of secrecy." Oppenheimer believed the Truman administration's obsession with secrecy was both irrational and counterproductive. He and Lilienthal had been trying all year to nudge the president and his advisors toward more openness on nuclear issues. Now that the Soviets had the bomb, they reasoned excessive secrecy no longer had any rationale. At a meeting of the AEC's General Advisory Committee, Oppenheimer expressed the hope that the Soviet achievement would push the United States to adopt a more rational security policy. Even as Oppenheimer cautioned against any drastic reaction, legislators on Capitol Hill began speaking of measures to counter the Soviet achievement. Within days, Truman endorsed a Joint Chiefs proposal for increasing the production of nuclear weapons. The U.S. stockpile of atomic weapons, which in June 1948 stood at about 50 bombs, would rise rapidly to some 300 such weapons by June 1950. This was just the beginning. AEC Commissioner Louis Strauss circulated a memo arguing that U.S. military superiority over the Soviets would inevitably diminish. Borrowing language from physics, Strauss suggested that America could only regain its absolute advantage with a quantum jump in technology. The nation needed a crash program to develop the super, a thermonuclear weapon. Truman was not even aware of the possibility of a super until October 1949. But once apprised of it, the president was intrigued. Oppenheimer had always been skeptical. "I am not sure the miserable thing will work," he wrote Conant, "nor that it can be gotten to a target except by oxcart." A reference to the expectation that it would be too big to be carried in an aircraft. Profoundly disturbed by the ethical implications of a weapon thousands of times more destructive than an atomic bomb, he hoped that the superbomb would prove technically unfeasible. More horrific than the atomic fission bomb, the super fusion bomb would surely escalate the nuclear arms race. The physics of fusion emulated the reactions in the interior of the sun, meaning that fusion explosions had no physical limits. One could get an even larger explosion simply by adding more heavy hydrogen. Armed with superbombs, a single airplane could kill millions of people in minutes. It was too big for any known military target. It was a weapon of mass, indiscriminate murder. The possibility of such a weapon horrified Oppenheimer as much as it excited the imaginations of various Air Force generals, their supporters in Congress, and the scientists who supported Edward Teller's ambition to build a super. As early as September 1945, Oppenheimer had written a secret report on behalf of a special scientific advisory panel composed of himself, Arthur Compton, Ernest Lawrence, and Enrico Fermi. The report advised that no such effort on the super or H-bomb should be invested at the present time. To be sure, the possibility that such a weapon could be developed should not be forgotten, but it was not an imperative. Officially, Oppenheimer raised no ethical concerns. But Compton, speaking for himself, Oppenheimer, Lawrence, and Fermi, wrote Henry Wallace and explained, "We feel that this development, the H-bomb, should not be undertaken primarily because we should prefer defeat in war to victory obtained at the expense of the enormous human disaster that would be caused by its determined use." Over the next 4 years, much changed. Relations with the Soviet Union deteriorated. Nuclear weapons emerged as the anchor of America's emerging containment policy, and the U.S. nuclear arsenal expanded to more than 100 atomic bombs, with more and larger ones on the way. The question at issue was obvious. What effect would this new gigantic weapon, if it were built, have on American national security? On June 9, 1949, Oppenheimer traveled to Cambridge, Massachusetts, to attend a meeting of Harvard's Board of Overseers, to which he had just been elected that spring. He stayed at Conant's home on Quincy Street, and he and Harvard's president had a long and difficult discussion, having, alas, nothing to do with Harvard. The two friends knew that they would have to grapple with a recommendation about the super at a meeting of the General Advisory Committee later that month. So it would have been natural for them to vent their worries, and it was probably on this occasion that Conant told Oppenheimer that the hydrogen bomb would be built over my dead body. Conant was outraged that a civilized country would even consider using such a ghastly, murderous weapon. He thought it nothing less than a genocide machine. Later that same month, on October 21st, after being briefed on the current status of the thermonuclear research, Oppie sat down and wrote Uncle Jim a long letter. He acknowledged that when they had last spoken, "I was inclined to think that the super might also be relevant." Technically, he still thought the super was not very different from what it was when we first spoke of it more than 7 years ago, a weapon of unknown design, cost, deliverability, and military value. The only thing that had changed in 7 years was the country's climate of opinion. He pointed out that two experienced promoters have been at work, i.e. Ernest Lawrence and Edward Teller. The project has long been dear to Teller's heart, and Ernest has convinced himself that we must learn from Operation Joe, the Soviet atomic explosion, that the Russians will soon do the super and that we had better beat them to it.